Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 27, attack by Chandavega on the city of Puranjan, text 30. Ajwarayam mama brata, tvam chame bhagini bhava, charami yuga bhyam luke smin, avyakto bhima sainika. Prajara, name Prajara. I am
this.
Mama, my. Brata, brother.
Tam, you.
Cha, also.
Me, my.
Bhagini,
sister.
Bhava, become.
Charami,
I shall go about. Ubhadyam,
by both of you.
Loke,
in the world.
Asmin, this.
Avyakta,
without being manifest.
Bhima, dangerous.
Sainika, with soldiers. Translation. The king of the Yavanas continued, "Here's my brother Prajara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to act imperceptibly within this world." Purport. Kalakanya was sent by Narada Muni to Yavanaraj so that she might become his wife, but instead of accepting her as his wife, Yamaraj accepted her as his sister. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to even have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavanaraj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Malechas. The word Prajwara is very significant, for it means the fever sent by Lord Vishnu. Such a fever is always set at 107 degrees, the temperature at which a man dies. Thus the king of the Malechas and Yavanas requested the daughter of time, Kalakanya, to become his sister. There was no need to ask her to become his wife, for the Yavanas and the Malechas do not make distinctions as far as sex life is concerned. Thus one may outwardly be a sister, mother or daughter and still have sex. Yavanaraj's brother was Prajara and Kalakanya was invalidity itself, combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely non-hygienic conditions, illicit sex and ultimately a high degree of temperature to bring on death. They would be able to smash a materialistic way of life. In this connection, it is significant that Narada was immune to the attack of Jara or invalidity, and similarly Jara or the destructive force cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 27th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Attack by Chandavega on the City of King Puranjan, the character of Kalakanya. The king of the Yavanas continued, "Here's my brother, Prajara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to act imperceptibly within this world." So here we're ending the chapter, and Kalakanya, who is the daughter of time, old age, is now to marry Prajwara, who is the fever sent by Lord Vishnu, it is said. The fever sent by Lord Vishnu, such a fever is always set at 107 degrees, or sent by Lord Vishnu as Mritya Sarvaharashitaham. Death I am, and in that form I take away everything. So, in this way, old age and death combined. And we're seeing how Narada Muni is describing the workings of the material energy and the various forces that are there and that we are facing. So that King Maharaj Prachinabarhi could understand that he was not just free free to sort of make choices about what he wanted to do with his life. He was a king and he had ample of opportunity, ample of possibility to fulfill desires, and therefore, naturally, he had some plans. But here, Narada Muni is systematically cutting down these plans by making the king aware that actually we are all imperceptibly being attacked. And that is what is the point here. The attack by Chandavega and his various soldiers, it is all imperceptibly. That is the word that is mentioned. And little by little, until we begin to realize it's happening. It's happening. I'm losing my power. And that is the nature of material existence. So there's a short window to where one can fulfill dreams and desires. And then it starts to break down. A short time to build things up. And then one has to face that everything will be taken away. And of course, at death, it will be fully taken away. But little by little, things are taken away by time. And that's basically the message of Narada Muni. Therefore, why invest so much in the temporary? To keep the long-term goal in mind. That means eternity. And no goal is long enough. When we speak about long-term goal, it's no matter, even if it's thousands of years, millions of years, trillions of years, it's not long enough. The lives of the demigods are not long enough, although one day of their time is 6 months of ours, and they live 10,000 years of such years. So a very long time, but it's not long enough. Still not fulfilled. Maharaj Yayati was exchanging his old age with his son for youth, and so that he could continue to enjoy with his wife. But still, even the second time, when he became old for the second time, still not exhausted. Still, the desires were not fulfilled. So, in this way, Bhagavatam is trying to make us aware that the desires will never be fulfilled, but time is not sitting still. Time is moving along, and therefore, do not just go along in trying to pursue these desires, but remember that time is destroying everything, and therefore remember now the Supreme Lord, because time is short. I've in my life sometimes been close to death. You never know where it comes from, right? It can come from anywhere, anytime. But especially when we are severely injured, we feel close to death. And I've gone through a few serious injuries in my life, and at that point, as I was bleeding, I realized that I'm probably going to die. So I focused on Krishna. And but I came out of that. And I realized after that it's not so hard to think of Krishna by Prabhupada's grace. And by Prabhupada's grace, we have enough faith to take shelter in Krishna, so that when the crisis actually comes, yes, we turn to Krishna. I didn't really need 20 people to shout in my ears, Krishna, think of Krishna. No, I was thinking of Krishna because I was in trouble. Right? I was in serious trouble, and where else to turn? So I was thinking of Krishna like anything. That was not the problem. But I realized that what was the issue was I was lacking in love for Krishna. How deep was my love for Krishna? And when I came out of it, I thought the next time I get into this position, I hope to have developed a little more love for Krishna. And since that time, I sort of became more aware that really there's so little time to develop our love for Krishna. And that we don't allow that love for Krishna to sort of really settle to in our heart. That we just don't allow it. We're just too busy with loving other things. Our love is here, there, everywhere. Shallow love, but still, I love this, I love that. And ultimately it's all hope for happiness, because real happiness is not there in the material world. So whatever material we love, it's actually what we love is the dream, the desire for happiness. And then reality is not quite what we thought it would be, that material life. So it is time to turn to Krishna. It is time to appreciate Krishna. It is time to discover Krishna. It is time to deeply think about Krishna. How kind Krishna is. How much Krishna is accompanying us. In the spiritual world, there's no such thing as the super soul. There's no super soul in the heart of the living being who's accompanying him in the spiritual world. That's only in the material world, because we've turned away from Krishna. Then Krishna says, all right, you enter into a material body. All right, I will also enter into a material body. I will sit right next to you in the heart. I will not leave you. I will be with you, even when you are there, in a condition separate from me. All right, you want to be separate from me? I'll be quiet. I won't say anything. I'll just sit next to you. But when you turn to me for a moment, oh yes, I'll be there. And sometimes, although I promise to be quiet, I will not be quiet. I will tell you something. Don't do it. Don't. Why do I have this? I have this intuition. Maybe it's not a good idea. Krishna, super soul is shouting, stop it, don't do it, you'll get in big trouble. Meanwhile, I have this vague feeling in me that maybe it's not a good idea what I'm doing. In this way, we are here in the material situation, in the material world. Krishna is so kind. So the more we can appreciate Krishna's kindness, unless we appreciate how Krishna is kind, how can we develop love? Most people love their mothers, if the situation is normal. Why? Because that mother has been extremely kind for a long time. She made such a sacrifice. She was always there. And then later, one appreciates that. How can you repay your mother for the sacrifice she made? Therefore, everyone has some feelings for the mother, if the relationship was normal. So kindness is what conquers. So unless we understand how Krishna is very kind, how can we love him? How can we develop that love for Krishna? We're not just going to love him because he dresses himself in with jewels. Okay, nice. He dresses himself with jewels. Definitely far out. Right? Impressive. Not boring. And so on. But that's not enough to love him. Alone. We have to see his kindness. When we see his kindness, when we look at the heart of Krishna and we see that he is just unlimitedly kind and merciful, that he is going out of his way for us. He's going out of his way to bring us somehow or other to this ocean of happiness, which is the spiritual world. That's the situation. And when we appreciate Krishna's unlimited kindness, all right, then maybe some love will awaken. Because that's how love is awakened. So we can do something. The other day I discussed how you cannot force love to come from the heart, you know. Love, you know. Love this microphone. I don't. You know, it's okay. It's a nice microphone. Not against it.